Mike, how are things?
Well, busy, and that's okay, I think.
Busy's good.
I've discovered that I'm a little confused about what I'm doing with my trying to get sorted out with getting VAs and bird dogs and whatever, but I lost the bubble on 250 vacant house leads.
What do you mean, lost the bubble?
Well, we go through the process of getting to the low-priced properties, and then we say we want to have just over 100 houses. So that's only 100, not 250. And I'm curious where the other 150 come in.
You mean on Realtor.com?
Well, yes, I guess.
Okay, yeah, those aren't necessarily vacant. We're just looking at how many are listed below. So that's not necessarily a vacant listing number. It's just how many are currently active below that price point. To get an idea of what does the low end of the market look like? So if you go to Denver, right, this is all about playing the percentages. Go to a city where it's easier to find discounted properties. So if you come into Denver and do a search in Realtor.com below $100,000, you probably wouldn't even find a deal.
Okay.
If you go into one of the older cities that Rob talks about, you'll find a couple thousand in some of the bigger ones.
Sure.
And so all that's really used for is to say, let's put two markets side by side. More people can afford cheaper housing, right?
Right.
Investors, it's easier for them to buy because it just costs less. So here's the thing. You can do investor deals in Denver. They happen all the time, right? I'm on a couple wholesalers lists, and I get emails on a daily basis with deals moving, and they're between three. Cheapest one I've seen lately is about $340, up
mm-hmm.
to a little over $400,000, and that's the distressed price point right now in Denver. So, are there deals? Yep. You're just going to pay a lot for them. So what this is all about. The reason Rob goes to different markets is because you can go to, other cities, right? He's in Texas and in Tennessee right now, but, he can buy great little houses at 30 grand, put 15
sure.
into them, and have a great little rental. So, again, it's just about playing the percentages here. There are deals mm-hmm. everywhere. So back to your question, that stat that we look up is really just to compare a couple cities. So don't get hung up on it. You've got your market picked. Do you have do you have your ad out for a bird dog? Have you talked to any of them yet? Or do you have somebody
no.
bringing leads in?
No, I composed the ad, but I haven't put it on because I...
Okay, post it today.
I never placed
Keep
an
it
ad.
Short. Keep it
yeah.
short and sweet. Post it in the sales or the real estate section on Craigslist. Shorten to the point. Get some people to call in. And then when that starts happening, you can find a VA as well that you're going to have to do some skip tracing for you as those leads come in. But you've got to get leads in the door this week, so I want you to get that line. That ad can be literally be two or three sentences.
Yeah, it is. Is there
okay,
anything I need to know about placing that ad?
Nope, put it in the sales or the real estate section in Craigslist in your market. That's it.
Okay, and just a credit card number to pay for it, huh?
Yep. Get that
okay.
sucker on there.
Okay.
Yeah, post that
Thank
today.
You
got it.
Bet.
Any other questions we can get for you?
Not that I have formulated for the moment, I don't think. I may come up with some more later. Thank you.
Yep.
I'll let
you
somebody
think of
else.
Something as we go. Let me know. Who else is on with us?
Al,
what's happening?
Hey, Darren's here.
Hey, Darren.
Sorry, did someone else beat me to the punch there?
Yeah, Hal said hi first, so.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Hal.
No,
go
ahead.
Okay.
It was a rough week, okay?
Uh-oh.
Sure. I think they're all rough, but the point is you just keep pushing, right?
That's right.
Keep pushing. So I'll give you a quick update. I do have a couple questions.
Yeah. Okay.
So I closed my first deal on Friday. We got a $7,000 assignment, and I learned something new. we actually, like I said, I thought I needed more time to close the deal because my buyer was closing on another house, so he was waiting on the cash from that deal.
Yep.
So he called me up and said, hey, my deal closed. I want to close on your deal quicker. I said, no problem. Let me call the seller and get an addendum signed, and then I'll have you sign an addendum as well. It just says you want to move the date up. Well,
yep.
Title company started calling buyer and seller to set up closing. And since they both agreed that they wanted to close early, they never even called me. They just, I thought it was closing today. But when she called buyer and seller, they both agreed that they wanted to close early. So she just set up the closing and closed it. So
that's
and I called her and said, oh, don't you need an addendum when we're going to move the date, which is customary, for any real estate, title company wants an addendum that says everybody's cool. She's like, no, when it's a cash deal and I get the buyer and the seller on the phone and they want to close early, she's like, we just close it.
Bam.
Like, there's no
– well,
so
I know
the money got wired to me.
Oh, that's killer. How was that experience?
Yeah.
I mean, you've typically been the buyer, so $7,000.
Yeah.
How much time do you think you have in this deal?
This one – I worked it for a while because the guy wanted $110,000 for it. I did actually have this one in the books for a while. And then finally, he finally agreed about 2 months ago to sell it to me for $85,000. So I had to work him down quite a bit. But then once I did, to find a buyer took me a couple weeks, and then my buyer had a unique situation. So then I had to figure out.
Yeah, this one was kind of unique all the way around.
It was. It could have been way more smooth sailing, but I had a lot of engineering to do on it, and everybody's cool and happy.
That's awesome.
So I'm still trying to figure out how to pay a buyer's agent effectively if they bring a deal to the table, because in Ohio, the seller is the only one that's able to pay a commission. And so even as a buyer's agent, if I'm representing a buyer here and I want more commission and I have the buyer sign a buyer exclusive contract with us so that we're they're bound to us for a certain number of months, a lot of people put in their contract that if the seller's only paying out 3.2, that they want an additional 1% on the above 100,000. I can't say that in my agreement. I have to say that the buyer is responsible to pay for it, but we're going to ask the seller to pay for it in concessions. So it's all in the wording. We go to the seller and ask for concessions and get the money from the seller, but then the buyer is giving us the additional 1% in commission.
So you're saying that in Ohio, only a seller can pay the real estate agent?
I believe so. So, yes. And so when I get the contracts, when I get the property under contract and or assigned, I'm only putting a $200, a $250 fee in there because I'm an agent in the state of Ohio and I'm using REMAX paper. So instead of charging the seller a commission, I'm charging them $250, which is just to handle, is just for the REMAX to handle the paperwork.
Right.
It's not really, it's not a commission. So then, normally I want to sell it myself with no buyer's agent involved, but if one comes to the table and says, hey, I got a buyer, I want to be able to pay them out of my, $1,500 or whatever, $2,000 out of my assignment fee to pay them for bringing me the buyer.
Well, either that or your assignment fee. Yeah, what if you just go to your seller and say, hey, from time to time, the buyer that I end up finding, because this is how I do business, has an agent and they want to get paid. So if that happens, your price is $50,000. We'll just take their commission, those quick addendum, bump the price up, and just know that that's going to be a wash, but that's just how we have to do it on the paperwork. Would that be an option?
So what I'm going to do, I think you're right. I'm going to create an addendum, which I already have, which has all the terms in it that you guys gave me from your contract. So I have my regular purchase agreement, and I changed buyer to buyer and assigner everywhere, changed some of the language through the standard contract. Then I have an addendum that says that, that liquidated damages are limited to the earnest money check It gives me the right to market the property. It gives us, you know, so all the terms that you have in your agreement that are wholesale specific are all an addendum.
Right.
And what I want to do is I want to ask the title company if I add one more line in there, one more paragraph that just says that the seller agrees that if the buyer wants to increase the sale price by $2,000 and then have the seller give that money to the buyer's agent if there is one, you know, it'll all be pre-agreed on and it'll be at my discretion.
Yeah, it seems to me you just disclose it and say this could happen. In the event it does, here's how we handle it. And then it's going to, I think it'll be fairly unique. But then when it happens, you just call the seller up and say, hey, remember that conversation we had about this?
Yeah.
It's taking place. Yeah. So here's what we're going to do.
We're going to increase the sales price, and then you're going to give that to the buyer's agent. Yeah, and I've got to make sure that the title company will bless that. And because they're the ones that'll be the one, they're the ones that'll say no, that's not legal, or we can't do that, or that's not allowed.
Well, if you make an addendum to the contract, I don't see why. I mean, it's not really the titles company; it's not really their place to talk about. I mean, they close based on the paperwork they're given, but they don't.
Yeah.
They don't get a say in what you and the seller agree to.
Well, I guess the people that would have a say then would be the real estate board here in the state of Ohio or somebody.
Yeah, that,
my broker,
that could be another animal. You know what?
Yeah,
let me bring this up too, Darren. So the age-old question, you're going to be an investor. Should you be licensed or not? You'll hear arguments on both sides of the table. Let me show this out there. Some of you maybe heard this, but Rob had a former business partner at a previous company, and he thought, he's like, I'm going to go out and get licensed because there are going to be some advantages to it. And he found a smoking deal in Denver. They're on the phone. The seller just says, give me $2,500 to pay my brother back, and I'm out of this thing. Let this fix it. They spoke first. He tied it up, made an $80,000 wholesale fee.
Wow.
On a deal, and he's licensed. Well, for whatever reason, the real estate commission got a hold of that and saw what he did and said, wait a minute, you bought this house, turned it for an $80,000 profit. Real estate agents get paid 2-4%, blah, blah, blah. This is obviously way over that. Yeah, and they tried to, you know, slap his wrist and do all this and pay it back and yada, yada. Long story short, he said, take your license back. And just I don't remember exactly how he got out of it, but I bring that up because you're going to play both sides of the fence, and you're talking about using RE/MAX paperwork. And I don't know if your wife is licensed, but you may want to consider, and you'd have to talk to, you know, a couple tax folks on how to do this, but you may want to consider either setting up, a wholesale entity in her name so it's free of the real estate commission. Or I don't know if you could – if you could work around it, if you set up a business entity in a different state where you are not licensed and buying that one where you wouldn't be held by the same. So I'm throwing it on the table. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I get it.
It's something you should be aware of. Maybe want to put a little energy into looking into what's the best way to set that up. You may want to just keep them separate.
I agree.
So
far what I've been able to do is any offers that we make out of the state of Ohio, I'm not licensed in any other state, so I don't need to use the RE/MAX paper. I can just use your agreement.
Correct.
Straight up.
Right.
So
and I was thinking
if you
own a business that's located in another state that's buying in Ohio and you're representing the business, you shouldn't have to use it, I would guess. I don't know, though. That's the question I don't know about.
If I'm involved in the transaction and I'm a licensed agent in the state of Ohio and the transaction's in Ohio, I need to disclose it for sure.
Gotcha.
I think even if it's
so
a company from another
– because you hang your license at RE/MAX, if you're going to do anything in Ohio, you have to use their paperwork?
You know, I don't – you know what? And I talked to my broker, and I don't need to.
Yeah.
And he said that I don't need to. But he said that it would be very beneficial for me to do it. In that if I go outside and I don't use RE/MAX, then I wouldn't be covered if there's any errors and omissions or any issues or whatever. You know, I wouldn't have RE/MAX to back me. So
well,
I just took the paper. Yeah.
Rob's been buying and selling for almost 20 years without RE/MAX backing him, right? So
yeah, I get it. yeah, I know.
There, I get
I just
that.
Don't want to let this guy down. You know,
I hear
feel
you.
Like he's
you'll yeah.
Yeah.
You'll do the right thing. Just know that that could be on the table because I know you have a $30,000 wholesale deal coming up, right?
I do. That's closing on the 21st, this Thursday.
Right.
So, and that was, I actually took possession of that house, and I used a realtor, my buddy, to help me take that down. And
okay.
I listed it on the MLS to sell it. So
okay.
it's
so it shouldn't be relevant
all
there.
Legit. No, it's
okay.
all legit. The one that the first one that I ever did an assignment on was the one that closed on Friday. And
yep.
the guy that closed, the guy that brought me the buyer is actually my architect, who's also an agent that works on my team. So,
okay.
you know, we can work out this one deal.
Right.
You know, but I just know moving forward, if any other buyers bring me deals, I want to be legit. I want to have the right paperwork. I want the title company
Absolutely.
Not to have any problems. My broker,
yeah,
the real yeah. estate, you know, commission, all that crap. So,
yeah, there's
I'll
only
keep
one
working
way.
That.
There's only one way to do business, and that's totally above board. I mean, the other thing,
that's
too,
right.
is Ohio's kind of leading the way on some legislative changes around wholesaling.
Yeah.
So it's not,
sure.
you know, we can do what we've always done. Just this is why we're talking about full disclosure. If you don't intend to buy the house, don't call yourself a buyer.
Yeah.
Explain to the seller what you do. Advertise
yeah.
that you have a contract, not a property, you know, some
uh-huh.
of that stuff. So that's where
yeah.
it all stems from.
And, on another topic, I wasn't going to actually bring this one up, but now that we're on this topic, I do have another one under contract here in Ohio. And it's a two-bedroom, one-bath house. It's only 75 or 750 square feet. You know, she wanted $60,000 for it. Her son was cooking meth in the garage and smoking it in the house.
Nice. Yeah.
So she had to do a bunch of cleanup work, you know, like wash the walls down and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And so I got under contract. I haven't been able
Has
to find a buyer. We
Has the city signed
bit.
Off on that work? Sometimes it takes
yeah,
more than just
yeah.
washing the walls.
I have a document from her, yeah, that everybody, the health board is signed off and
okay.
everything.
Okay.
So the point is that I haven't been able to find a buyer. We were supposed to close on Friday, and I got confused because I got a message from my assistant that she was going on vacation, and I thought she said we were going to move the closing date back to when she got back from vacation. And I figured
okay.
when she got back, I would just hear from her.
Yeah.
But on Friday, she called me and said, hey, we're supposed to be closing today. And I said, hey, I thought we were moving the closing date. And so it was like a miscommunication. And so she was a little
yep.
upset thinking we were closing. And then I had to give her the news that I don't have a buyer. And so she didn't say anything nasty to me. She was just kind of disappointed. And I said, look, I'll call you on Monday. I'll get this straightened out. I'm going to make one more push. I said, it's been a real difficult house to sell, and I'm not bailing on you. I'm going to try one more time. I got a lot of investors in my network, and I'm going to try to sell it. And she said,
yep.
okay. Then she called a mutual friend of ours and mentioned the court word, and I hope we don't have to go to court. And so, and of course, that wigged out my wife a little bit. But, I mean, honestly, she doesn't really have much recourse other than the –
No,
the,
did you disclose – Did you disclose
yes.
your intent?
Yes. Yep. yep
and what
yep.
you were looking to do?
Well,
yeah. That's.
And she used to be a realtor, so she's not a. She can't go to court and say, "Oh, he took me. I didn't know what he was talking about." Like she knows
yeah.
the business. She knew exactly what
yeah.
was going on.
Yep.
So, I put a couple more people through that house, which brings me really to. I have a couple more updates, and then I have a couple questions. So I'll try to motor through this, so everyone else gets a chance. Oh yeah, my wife's in the car driving to take my daughter to her to a kiddie park for her birthday. So she said, "Has that ever happened to you guys before?" And you know, what's the worst case scenario?
Yeah, this is why we fully disclose. I would have to ask Rob. I haven't had anybody threaten court before. I would guess he has, but.
Yeah.
They went in. This is why we tell them up front. This is how,
right.
this is what I do. This is how it's going to go down. Here's the paperwork
yep.
we use. Are you good with all that? And they signed it. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we always tell people, we don't ever say, I know I can get this house sold. I'll guarantee I'll get it sold. You know, we're gonna put forth an effort. You know, that was good wording. You said I've got a big network of buyers. You do. This is a challenging house to sell. It is. I'll give it my best effort. But that's what she signed and agreed to. So
right.
Yeah.
So
I mean, you've gotten people over to see it. You've gotten messaging out.
Mm-hmm.
Not every deal moves. What is how is that?
She's
going to
give us an extension
for the neighborhood.
I think it could be slightly high, and I basically came down on my assignment fee because I just want to get rid of it and help her sell it, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be greedy. If I can sell it and just make a few grand, I'll do that.
What is it? A little rental?
It's a little 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Yeah, 750 square feet. She wants 60,000. So I had it at 669.9 or something like that.
Okay.
For now, I'm at 65,000. I lowered it.
So
down.
you have it at 60 from her.
I have it at 60 from her and 65 out to the public.
65 to the buyers. And what does it rent for?
Yeah. Probably about 850.
How
it's
much work does it
worth,
need?
I haven't ever been in it, but I'm assuming it probably needs about 15 grand. And I think.
Okay. So all in at 80.
All in at 80, and I think it's worth 99.9. All finished, fixed up.
So 70% of 850 is 595. Call it $600.
Mm-hmm.
80,000 divided by 600 is 133 months. So 11.1 years. So a little bit on the slow side at that number for return of cash.
Yeah, sure.
Let's take 600 times 12. So net cash flow, 7,200 year one. And then if somebody wanted a 12 cap property divided by 0.12, they'd be all in at 60.
Gotcha.
On a 12 cap. So it sounds like you're a little bit high.
Yeah.
On price. I think it's all about that fix up number. Have you talked to any of the sellers that have gone through it?
I had a couple guys go through today that are experienced. One guy's a pretty experienced flipper. He's got 8 under construction right now.
Yeah.
I'll follow up
Do you have
with
any
him
feedback
tomorrow
from
get
him?
It. Tomorrow, I didn't hear from him today, but tomorrow I'll be catching up with everybody. So
yeah, it seems like you're a little high based on how much work it needs. That's my thought.
One thing to notice is this isn't in the city. This is a good suburb. This is a really popular suburb with good schools and.
Okay.
We're not talking about city schools and stuff. They're in, 8, 9 on the school systems. So
well, if it's that high in the school, is that this is a pretty small place though, huh? 2,750 square feet.
Yeah, I've got a couple people that have reached out to me though that are interested in doing it with financing. So
yeah.
I know I'm coming. Give me 5 more minutes. I'll meet you inside. 5 more minutes. Okay. So
birthday party.
Yes. So a couple people called and left me messages. They're kind of interested in maybe owner financing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I want to get wrapped up in that on this deal. It's not that
right.
I'm against it 100%, but I just don't know.
Right.
So I'll give you an update on Thursday. I'm going to give it another push and maybe even consider.
Okay.
Coming, not making a whole lot, but just getting this one out of my hair. So,
right.
And she's kind of a friend, so I might just get it out.
Gotcha.
But,
even if you turn $2,500 on it or $2,000.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
so,
turn it and go.
Exactly. And I just don't need any problems from this woman either. So,
yeah.
A lawsuit is a lawsuit. It's time, it's energy, it's money, I just don't need it.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but I'm both parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just on you.
Yep.
So it's as much headache to sue somebody as it is to get sued a lot of times. So
yep.
That word gets thrown around a lot. You disclosed, I'm assuming it sounds like you did. You told me you did. Your paperwork says your intent is to assign it, right? Or
absolutely.
Did you get that wording worked in? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Well, even if
I didn't say it verbally to her,
which I did, it's all in the paperwork, so.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. But, So other good news, I did hire that disposition manager that I was going out to dinner with last week. He was going to start today, but it's
clearly.
Yeah, it went really well. He's going to start tomorrow because today was my daughter's birthday. So,
gotcha.
Tomorrow I'll have Sawyer and Mark on board at the new office.
Sweet.
Getting kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
And I can share something else with the group too that might be beneficial for everybody with virtual assistants. So I had a campaign with 250 leads in it, and Sawyer kind of cranked through them over the course of 3 weeks. And he's like, "Hey, I've got to get me some more leads." So I already had another campaign with another 250 leads in it that I hadn't skip traced.
Yep.
So I hired a guy that I had used in the past to do the 250 leads. And after I hired him, he just kind of went MIA and flaked out on me. So Sawyer came in on Monday, and he didn't have really a lot of leads to work with. He was doing some follow-up calls and some other things from the other batch of leads. But so I was like, okay, I'm not going to get stuck high and dry on this next batch. So I quickly went out and I created a new job posting on Upwork that just said, "Hey, I've got 250 leads, and what I'd like to do is offer you 20 leads. Watch my video, do these 20 leads, and if you do a great job, then I'll give you the rest of the leads, or I'll give you more leads." I didn't want to promise anything.
Right.
And so I took the campaign and I created three new campaigns with the people's names at the end that I was going to hire to do the job after I interviewed them.
Yep.
And I was able to highlight one whole page in my 250 and apply it to their specific campaign.
Right.
And then I did a little test on the 20. I went to their campaign and just started manipulating the 20 records. I tried to change a status or two or whatever. And then I went back to the 250 campaign, and it was making the changes in that campaign.
Right.
So it was really cool. I could just give them access to 20 leads.
Nice.
I hired three people.
Yeah, they live in the same place.
They live in the same place.
It's the same
pointer.
It's the same leads. You can just view them from two different places.
Two different campaigns.
Yep.
I do need to learn how to physically make a copy, though, at some point, where I just copy them to a new campaign. And now they live in two stuff. You know, I have two physical copies.
If you click into the lead, click campaign, the drop down, select the new one, and save it. It'll move it.
So it won't
live in the from campaign. It'll move it to the to campaign.
I gotcha.
If that makes sense.
Is there any way to do that with, like, say, 20 records at a time, like a mass?
No, when you do it in a group, it just allows the leads to be viewed from multiple places.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
Got it. But this is working perfectly because now I have three
cool.
separate VAs.
Yeah.
I gave it to all of them. They cranked out 20 leads each. They all have different ways of skip tracing. Some of them are using TLO. Some of them are using Intellius Premier. Some of them are using LexisNexis. They all have their different ways and different. And so I told Sawyer, I was like, "Look, this VA is using this. This VA is using this. This VA is using this." I said, "I need you to give me feedback as to how, you know,
Absolutely.
What type of, you know, how are these guys working out, and who do I give more records to, and what system's working better, and so forth." So far, he said that this one guy did a great job, and he's getting really good success. So,
nice. Do you know what tool that was off the top of your head?
I have to look. I know which guy it is. It was Rafiq, but I don't know. I have to go back and look at my notes and see which tool. But
let us know maybe on Thursday. I'd be curious.
I will.
Have a little test group going.
I will. And
cool.
The other piece of information that I found out was from this one girl that I hired. She said that there was a miscommunication. She thought that I had access to Lexis, and I did, and I don't. I have Spokio, and she said that she has Intellius Premier. And I said, "Okay, just use that then. You know, if that's what you have, just use that. I've heard it's pretty good." And she said, "No." She said TLO and Lexis are the best, and they have the most up-to-date and most accurate owner information, and that was her opinion.
Right.
So if anybody else has that opinion, we're going to test it out and find out what kind of results we get from someone that uses one versus the other versus the other versus, you know.
I know TLO is a pain to get set up with, so the easiest way would be to hire to find a VA that has it, because they, you know, they want to come out and do, sometimes they do spot checks and they want to do all this background, and they've got rules about what the data can be used for and that kind of thing. So that's why Rob has always gone Intellius. Pretty easy to use, works.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be curious to see which of the three.
Sure. And the reason is, it sounds like everybody in this group, though, is kind of having the same problems with a lot of hang-ups, a lot of not in services, a lot of wrong numbers, et cetera. So one of the guys I did hire, who's probably going to start tonight after we all go to sleep, is has TLO.
Yep.
So I want to see when he comes back with his results, I want to see if we're getting more correct numbers, more good numbers, so forth. So
I know Rob, he's just running off Intellius, and his sales guys are doing just fine. So,
How are those guys doing? Because my guys constantly ask, like, hey, how's everybody else doing? You know, they want to constantly know. Until we get a bunch of deals under contract for them, they're still plugging along here on faith. So, you know, if you can give us any type of update.
What was the question?
How's Rob's team doing? They're brand new. They haven't been doing this for more than since April or May.
Yeah, monthly closings. Last week they closed five deals. But they don't really go a week typically without a closing or two. I know it was five last week. I don't ask on a daily basis where's everybody at. The goal is to start moving them clearly monthly, but then that'll turn into weekly with some momentum behind it. So
that's what we need. Yeah, we just need a couple to close so that they can say, okay, this is working. And
That closing today, I mean, that, you know, the sales team has to know about that.
Yeah, I told them about
even
it.
Even if
it
they weren't in on
deal.
It. Yeah, I mean, this thing works. So
I told them about it. They're not getting a paycheck yet. So I said, this is good news. I know it's not a paycheck for you, but just know that I've got one closing on Friday and I got one closing on Thursday. And and I got two other under contract myself, which I guess some of my other questions, I have a couple questions now that we finally got to it. Let's see. Showings. So I have this house, the house with the meth house, and I have another two-family house that are both under contract. I have lock boxes on them. And it was a strange feeling that I had today. I had some people that I don't know call me, some buyers, and they're like, hey, I want to do some showings. And my gut was, oh, okay, I should probably meet you there and show the house to you. But obviously, if that was another state, I wouldn't be able to do that. So I guess my question is this normal where a buyer calls me, I've got the lockbox on the house, I have the owner's permission to show it, but I guess maybe I wasn't clear about the fact that I would just give it out. I would give the lockbox out to people I don't know, and they would be going in to look at the house. So that's kind of where I'm going. It's like, I felt weird. I know I felt weird, and I know that I need to come up with a better.
Yeah, it's pretty common. So if you need to pay somebody a little, like a trip fee, or if it becomes a deal, that's where you can have a bird dog or somebody local, a team, you know, pay them 20, 35 bucks to meet them out there quick. If showings is going to become the way you get people in there, then pay those folks and get it out to your buyers list and say, this house is open from 2 to 4 tomorrow. Don't miss it, and drive people in and do it that way. It is pretty normal to just go see it, but clearly, you know, you've got to sort of make a judgment call on that. And who you're sending over, but as you get to know your buyers, and you start to do multiple deals with a handful, you'll just send them. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay. That sounds good. I like the idea of maybe one buyer calling up and says, hey, I want to go look at it this Saturday from noon to 1 or 2.
Hey, Darren, you just got really quiet for some reason.
Sorry, that's because I switched to speakerphone. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the idea of a buyer calls and says, hey, I want to go look at it, and you set him up for the weekend showing, and then you not only line him up to go see it, but you line up other people at the same time and then send the bird dog to do the showing.
Yeah, getting multiple buyers there in a time frame, I mean, the shorter that – if you can just do an hour, because if you compress it, everybody will show up, and it kind of creates a – not kind of, it creates a sense of urgency, a little
right.
fear of loss.
I like it.
Look at all the other people looking at this. You know, just
yep.
say we some wholesalers will do highest and best.
Yeah.
You know, Rob just always put the price on it and says first come, first serve, tell us you want it, get earnest money submitted.
Uh-huh.
And then it creates this, hey, there are five other people looking at this thing and I want it. I better raise
better,
my hand.
Better get my offer in quick.
Absolutely.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so that's a good way to do it. It takes a little, obviously a little more coordination, but it's a good way to do
sure.
it. You don't have to do it that way, but it works.
Yeah, so I mean, if the owner is still living in the house as well, I know how hectic it can be.
Then you almost have to do showings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you almost have
or
to
maybe,
do showings. You can't be sending random people and say, hey, when somebody knocks at your door, just let them walk through. Keep watching Matlock or whatever.
No.
Yeah, you're gonna want to do showings that way.
Showings, or I like the idea of doing, you know, sending the bird dog to just do an hour on the weekend and just let everybody in.
Yeah, that way you've got somebody there on site.
Got somebody
yep.
there, and the owner can get out, and I got somebody else that's going to be there. And so, I think that's all I got for this week.
Cool.
I just got my bird dogs turned back on. I got to stay in front of this. So.
Yeah, lead manager next. Get the salesperson and dispositions rolling.
I
and,
do.
You
don't even know how much work it is just to keep the leads going. I mean, I spent hours with
absolutely. I mean, imagine when you get to two or three salespeople.
Right.
You're gonna be running some serious leads. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
We got to be close.
Everything just scales up now.
Right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Absolutely, and you're working towards some. So, yeah, keep your foot on the gas, and you're a little bit in that transition period where things can it can be a little nervous, but keep your eye on the prize.
Gotcha.
And go have fun at that birthday party.
Yeah, I better get out there. They went to a kiddie park, and they're riding the rides and all that stuff. So, all right, thanks, everybody. Appreciate everybody's feedback, and I'll talk to you guys in a couple of days, okay?
Sounds good, Darren. Don't puke on the Tilt-A-Whirl.
No, I won't. I'm good.
All right, man.
I'm good.
Talk soon.
All right, thanks again, everybody. Okay,
yeah,
bye now.
Who else is on? The Kitty Rides. Who else? Heard a bunch of dings. Kind of quiet on a Monday, huh?
Yeah.
Who was that?
This is Mike Riley. Is it just you and me?
No, I know some other people came on, but it doesn't, it prints a report after the fact, but just with phone numbers, so I'm just going off whoever checks in. Any more questions, Mike, other than what we covered right up front?
Well, I'm just I'm going back over my notes here. I'm going to go back and cue all this stuff again for step three.
Let me break it down really quick. You know, you're going to post that ad on Craigslist tonight.
Okay.
You're gonna hire somebody that just has a phone and a car, and they're going to drive around, give them a little instruction. They're looking for obviously boarded up, long weeds. You know, houses that appear to be vacant. Mailbox full, neighbors parking in their driveway. I mean, you know, you after a while, houses just look or smell vacant when you get around them. So that's it. You're going to have somebody bring that, you know, start setting up leads. Once you have them, you're going to go into FreedomSoft and create a campaign with their name on it. You know, Bird Dog Steve, Bird Dog Laura, whoever they are. And on the right side of that campaign, there's a unique email address, right? Just like step three shows, that Bird Dog Automation video. You're going to give them that email. You're going to say, when you find one, if they use HomeSnap, great. But the other way that works is they can just grab an address. Here's where HomeSnap is helpful, everybody. Is it'll help to lead to the address, because a lot of times vacant houses are missing one or two numbers, or maybe even the entire house number. So that's where HomeSnap comes into play, Mike. But that's it. You've got to, you know, your next step is don't do anything until you have a Bird Dog that's brought you 25 leads. Right?
Okay.
And then you'll go to Upwork.com, simple job post for a VA who can do some skip tracing for you. And it works both ways. So, you know, we get this question, should I hire a VA who has access to one of the skip tracing tools, or just hire a researcher and you get access to the tool? We have students who have done it both ways, and they've gotten results. So what Rob does is Rob has an account with Intellius, which is a skip tracing website, and he pays for it. And he puts an ad on Upwork for a VA that can just do internet research, and then he shows them how to do it. What you just heard Darren talking about was he put an ad on there that says, you know, I need three people who can skip trace, and then let me know what tools you have access to. And he got different responses. One has TLO, one has Intellius Premier, and I think one had LexisNexis. So, you know, like I said, we've had students do it both ways. At the end of the day, as long as you're running, you know, owner of record data through a skip tracing service, you're going to get some good numbers. So, but Mike, that's, let's take this one step at a time. Your next step, the next thing in front of you, is to get a Bird Dog or two on your team that are going to bring some leads in and give them a quick incentive. Say, you know, here's the thing. We just met. You want to know I'm legit. I need to know, you know, that you can bring in some leads. So, you know, can you bring me 20 by tomorrow evening? Go find me 20. What's your email address? As soon as you send them over, I'll PayPal the money to you.
Okay. All right. I've got to get set up with PayPal. I read their terms of service, and my God, you need a law degree to get through that thing.
Yeah, I probably just clicked the agree button at the bottom. PayPal works good.
Okay, well, I don't have. Is there any way to do that with a little bit of explanation before you just sign up for it? Because
I have no idea.
I'm sure I don't understand half of what I'm supposed to be able to do there or how to do it.
Right. Right. Would you know, I don't know of a quicker way to move some money around. And all they need is an email and a PayPal account, and a lot of people have them. Not everybody, obviously, but it moves it fast. So, yeah, don't try not to get hung up in that stuff. I get it that it's legal. Maybe I'm a little too trusting. I just say, hey, this is a massive website. Millions of people use it. I'm good with the agreement. Maybe that's my fault for doing that, but I've been using them for a number of years now.
Oh, really? Well, you haven't been stung, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and I was introduced to, because that's where everything happens on eBay. So, you know, buying new golf clubs off eBay is a very real addiction. And so I've been using PayPal for years, and it's always worked just fine. Somebody else may have a different experience with it, but that's been mine.
Right. Well, now the other thing is, before I go post these ads for the area, based on the low price properties and whatever that, and the availability, I'm back to using Cleveland, and I got 103 properties below 15.5 price. So
yeah, you're not even worried about that. You're just using that data to pick a city. Once your city's picked, your Bird Dogs, those houses may or may not be vacant. So that data, you don't even need it. Just get a Bird Dog out driving, and when they see a boarded up house, they need to send you that address.
With a picture.
You got it.
Okay. All right. I'll go back to this again, get that on the, get that ad in Craigslist.
Yeah, post it today.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yep, for sure. Who else? Check-ins and questions.
I'm going to tell her. Everyone fucking thinks it's weird.
Hey, somebody's in the middle of a conversation or something. Hit star 6 for us so we can get rid of that background noise. Who else? Questions, updates? I will say this. If you're when you have leads, any of you that have leads, the goal is 5 offers a week. We got to get there. At the end of the day, that's why we do everything else in this business around the lead gen, the vacants, the bird dog. Got to be making offers, right? There's one KPI or key performance indicator that stands above all others, and that's how many offers are getting made. So you've got to start to put, I don't want to say pressure, but you've got to put that goal in front of you. If you currently have leads and numbers to call, the goal is 5 offers a week. That's one a day. And that's just a starting point. It's going to go up from there. So just a quick little reminder. That is, and I've said this multiple times on here, at the end of the day, if you wanted to get down and, pinpoint the one thing about Rob's business that would be different than where you're at, it would be number of offers made. So everything else he puts in place is so that they can be making multiple offers on a weekly, daily, monthly basis. That's the key.
Hey, Mike, this is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Okay.
How many offers does Rob those guys, right. How many offers do they, like, this one?
We're doing dinner with the doctor tonight, and now they're calling.
Mark in San Antonio. How many offers are they making out there in a week?
Everybody they talk to. That's the goal. If there's even a hint of motivation there, the offer's going. So I'd have to ask him. I don't know exactly how many people that, each salesperson is talking to on a daily basis. But that's the goal. If you've got somebody that's breathing on the other end, that call's going to an offer,
so
whether they accept it or not.
What's the process behind making the offer? How long? How many calls to the seller? Do you make it on the first call or do you make it on the second call?
Yeah, the goal is with your sales team.
Okay.
You know, some of you, when you bring on, a VA or somebody jumps on the phone for you and they don't know exactly how to run the numbers yet, they're setting appointments, and that's fine. The better way to do it, or I should say the best way, is, like Chris, who runs the sales side for Rob and Brad. He knows how to run the numbers. He knows the price points in the markets, and they go to offer on that first phone call.
Awesome.
Okay.
So okay. That's the best way to have it happen is on that very first call.
Yeah.
Now, if if they need to get a spouse involved, there's another owner of the property. Obviously, you've got to get the people on the phone that can make the decision. But if the sales team has the decision maker on the other end of the line, unless they're confused about something, they're going to offer right there.
So, okay, so you're telling me they can get them on the phone and, talk to them, build a rapport, what this guy's good at, and then, boom,
yep.
Give them an offer.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
what we're trying to work towards.
Right. Yeah, and I know you guys have somebody, I think, setting appointments, and that's fine. That's better than you making all the calls. But the goal is to, because just the reality is you schedule an appointment for tomorrow or the next day, something may happen on your end, something may happen on your end, and now you're chasing. And the offer's
no,
happen,
and
so.
Yeah.
Yep.
We're doing a lot of chasing. We're doing a lot of chasing, and we're shortening it up. And then I worked on a couple formulas to try and make the offer process a lot faster. But, I mean, I don't know if you guys have a certain formula you use besides the deal analyzer and the comps, which I know those things are important, but I'm just trying to get my guy to where he's speed,
yeah.
A few numbers in a calculator,
yep.
And boom. I mean, within a couple minutes, hey, please, Mr. Seller, if you just give me a couple seconds, I'm going to have your offer just ready in just a minute. What kind of shape did you say the house was in? Okay, you know what I mean? And so on and so
yep.
forth, which we need to run our own numbers behind that, because I understand that, most of those people, if it needs 20, it really needs 35. I get it. You know what I mean? But
right. Yeah, you're gonna have to make some assumptions.
Right.
But those
right.
can always be corrected now that you're a lot easier to get a hold of somebody when you have the contract on the property.
Sure, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, the formula is, you know, what do you think your buyers want? Is it primarily a rental market or primarily a fix and flip market? I'm guessing rental.
Right, right.
So
right.
gross rents times 70%. You know, that's where the deal eval comes in. You know, everybody has to get really good at evaluating deals. So, like when Darren told me it rents for $850, I grab my phone. I type in $850 times 70% or 0.7, whatever, $595. Multiply that by 12 months out of the year. So in a year, it brings in $7,140 net, $7,140 in rent, right? Takes 30% off the top for expenses, vacancy, property management. All the what ifs,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty industry standard. Keep 70% of it, and then times 12 months, that's 7140. And then a 12 cap or a 12% rate, you just divide that number by 0.12 or 12%, however your calculator works. 59,500. So that's if your buyer is all in at 60 grand, that's a 12 cap deal. Well, then
right,
you got to
right,
back
right.
out. What does this thing need? How much, you know, how much does it need to get fixed up? If it's 15,000 minus 15 grand, and now we're down to 44,500.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you still need to get paid. So what do you want, a $5,000
right.
wholesale fee? 39.5, right? So your offer is right at 40 grand. But you can run that. To teach somebody that math is very basic. And then it's just a matter of, you know, running 10 scenarios so that while they're on the phone having this conversation, they can go through it. The other resource that we talk about a lot on here is that when you buy that list of absentee owner properties from ListSource and then upload it to Batch Geo, you've got to have that map available to your salespeople so that they can figure out while they're on the phone where is this property located. And they can go right into that neighborhood, and while they're yakking, they can pull up that Batch Geo map, and they can just hover the, you know, their cursor over each of the pins in the area, and it'll pop up all that data that you grab from ListSource. So that's a great little sales tool, because they'll get, you know, they'll look, you've got a house right here, and they look at the five surrounding, and they're all selling in the $30,000 price range, right? Pretty safe bet.
Uh-huh.
That's what the market says. Houses around
right.
here are going
yeah.
for. So if they're selling for 30, we got to be at 25, something like that. So between
sure.
between those two simple little tools, you know, some pretty easy math,
yep.
And that Batch Geo map, your sales team, you know, ought to be able to start working towards making an offer on that first connection.
Not until you're back up.
So.
Bless you and your brother.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Little
can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
That's better.
Yeah.
I guess basically what it is, you know, just hammering it out and just getting that process. I mean, we're not using the Batch Geo. We could put that in there, but I think my guys, he's making the offers. He's getting a lot faster, and
yep.
I think I have some formulas very similar to what you're doing. So
yep.
just having him, you know, getting him more familiar with the market, you know, each market when he's calling it, and just, you know, that's going to get our speed up. Cause I mean, essentially, you know, I
yep.
told him, I was like, hey, you know, we got to be making at least 25 offers a week. You got to make 5 a day. You know, I'm going to push him, you know, I think we got 15
yeah.
last week
and
sent out a contract today on one of them. I'm like, hey, we got to make offer after offer after offer. And,
yep.
I think, you know, I mean, like, essentially, you know, I told him, hey, essentially we got to get to where we're making 10 a day. You know, every time you pick up the phone, get somebody on the phone, hey, offer.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
And, you know, we've been talking with you guys, too, and we're trying to contact this the lady we talked to. She's got 60, you know, the 65 doors
yep.
that we've been texting you. It's like I think it's like 50 or so addresses, and some of them have multiple doors, and she'll be the bank,
yeah.
in other words, is what it's looking like. But, you know, we just need some, we may need some guidance and, you know, along structuring that deal and making things work for her.
For sure.
Yep.
You know, so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I've been following it. I know Rob's been chiming in, so you know, I wanted to make sure that we had his direct input on that deal. I personally haven't put together a tape like that and sold the whole thing. So, but yeah, absolutely, keep us posted on it, and that's what we're here for sure.
Cool, perfect, awesome.
Yeah, actually, a few of you have run into. I know Aaron Rose's. He's got somebody that says they have a 100 plus that they want to sell. It's just it happens.
There you are. Yeah.
I mean, you're out there long enough, and you start talking to sellers, especially on these vacants or whatever the case, and you're gonna run into these big fish that have a lot of houses to move. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah,
good problem to have.
Well, you know how we ran into this one is the lady. She's a realtor, and her husband was a landlord, and he passed away, and she wants nothing to do with being a landlord. And she can't.
Now it's just some big old headache.
Yeah, she doesn't. I mean, but the thing is, she's also got her foot in the ground a little bit where she's been in real estate enough to where she's like, well, I'm not going to sell them just at this big discount. So which we told her, you know, we either got to buy with cash at a discount or own terms. So it's looking like we can do terms with her.
Hey, it may not be painful for her to let them go. At a great price. That's one realistic outcome is this goes nowhere. So, you know, what Rob has been really good at over the years and just, you know, working alongside and watching him is he's good at keeping emotion out of it.
Sure.
You know, deals aren't there until they're done. You hear somebody, hey, I've got 60 houses to sell. It's pretty easy to get fired up. But, he just kind of moves along, even keel, and here's what we're willing to pay and, runs the deal, puts the offer out there. They take it or they don't. If they do, great. If they don't, great. And he just kind of, that's the other nice thing about having the pipeline full is that you don't get desperate for stuff and make buy decisions, based on, this isn't a great price, but I don't have anything else going. I think I'll take it anyway. Right. That's where things get a little dangerous in this business. So, hopefully you can work something out. But just know that one of the options is you don't, in which case, so what?
No big deal.
Coming in, keep the salesperson on the phone. You know, I like it, 25 offers a week. That five offers, I think when you first hear it, sounds a little overwhelming. And so, I really like that you chimed in here and said, hey, we've told our team 25 plus a week is where we got to get to. And that number is just going to climb, and it really drives everything else. Because if you're going to make 25 offers, then you have to have X number of leads. And if you're going to have X number of leads, then you've got to, have this many bird dogs running and maybe add in some direct mail. And it really, that one stat can really drive the whole acquisition side of the business. So that's the key one. Yep. Good stuff.
Got to aim for something, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. 25 for now and beyond in the future.
Right. I mean,
think of this when you and Quinn have, you guys are in multiple markets, sales team working each, 25 offers per market, per week. People want to know, how do you build something really, really big in real estate? I mean, how do you blow by $1 million a year? How do you go to the big levels? And it's just doing, doing more of the same. The team kind of scales, but the process doesn't. I mean, at the end of the day, we drive leads, we talk to sellers, we make offers, and we find buyers, right?
Right.
So everything in life has usually a handful of fundamentals. And I'm sure those Freedom Soft Lab trainings I've been talking about, Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player ever, and the fundamentals are basketball, are dribble, pass, shoot. And so he just worked his tail off to get as good as he possibly could. Obviously basketball has a physical component, so he kept himself in great shape. And then he worked dribble, pass, shoot. That was it. He didn't have to bring, there isn't a new fundamental for basketball. It hasn't changed. And so real estate's no different. Everything in life is the same. You don't have to get good at 1,000 things to be really good. You just focus on the fundamentals. And in this business, right?
Sure.
Drive lead, talk to sellers, make offers, find buyers,
If you want to add a fix and flip component, great. If you want to learn how to do some owner financing, great. But at the end of the day, you can crush it with generate good leads, talk to sellers, and find buyers with those three things.
Right, right.
You can make just about whatever you want. So
sure.
And, yeah, and everything we do just boils down to that.
Well, with our numbers, he had 15 offers. Well,
mm-hmm.
And then so now we got a contract we sent out today, and then he wants us to make up a contract taking over the note on one of his properties, which is like about an $80,000 house and 46 on the note. He wants us,
yeah.
He'll carry the note. So I'm like, okay, so if we got 2 out of 15, I said, and then my whole, you know, where we really want to be is we want to see one every day close, whether it be in this market or that market, you know. Every day something closes, your average one a day. So what would it take in the whole, you know, perspective of things to get there and surpass that, you know? So we got to develop our offers and how many get accepted over time just to see,
yeah.
You know, what that number is. And then, you know, I mean, it's out there, but we got to aim for it, you know, at some point.
For sure. Yeah, so. I mean, in theory, if you can get a contract a day, you'll eventually have a closing a day over a couple
months. That's right.
That's
right.
That's where it can go.
Yep.
You know, I mean, imagine your business with a closing a day. I mean, you know, take the weekends off, but
right. Five
you know,
a week. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
250 plus closings in a year, and that, you know, there are real estate outfits that do that for sure.
Yeah, it's not far fetched.
No.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Not at all.
It seems way off, but then you start putting some of these pieces into play, and you're like, wait a minute, if I can make one offer a day, you know, I can get a salesperson on who can reach more people, and we ought to be able to make 3 or 5. And if
sure.
you can, you know, if you can talk to, that's the thing about these vacants is they're motivated. So if you can get them on the phone and talk to five people a day and make 5 really good offers to people who are probably motivated, a contract a day doesn't sound crazy.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
We're just limited, you know, and I, this is all of us. We're just limited by our own brains, right?
That's right.
What we think is possible. I mean, you ask Warren Buffett, how hard is it to make $1 billion? And he just would kind of smirk like it's a piece
That's
of cake.
Right.
You
yep.
ask somebody else, how hard is it to make $1 billion? And they're like, it's just a
it's impossible.
Thing.
Yeah.
yeah. Right? It's just a perspective thing. So, but
good stuff.
Yeah, it's yeah. There's a guy, Brian, in the program. Rob's working with him. What did he tell me? He's doing $200,000 to $400,000 a month now.
Wow.
So, yeah, he chimes in at the performer level. So it's got, you know, some slightly different components to it, but. Yeah, I mean, that's where he's currently at. He's, you know, he puts his shorts on one leg at a time like everybody
yeah.
else, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Good go. That's the draw of real estate, right? Because people know that it can be a deal or two a month, or it can be a deal or two a day, and anywhere in between,
right.
Whatever you want it to be. So.
Right.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Who else? Yeah. Really good stuff. I like how you push the team to 25, and that's the interim goal on offers. 25 a
that's,
week. That
yeah.
number will go up
yeah.
all the time. It's a big deal.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, this is Esther. Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. Okay, I don't really have much to report. I didn't do much on my business today because I was taking care of some personal stuff, but I'm definitely jumping in tomorrow.
That's right. Stay at it.
Yep.
Everybody gets
yep.
somewhat derailed, right? It just, life happens. What matters is how, you know, how quick can we get back on it, so.
I'm getting back
just,
in tomorrow.
That's part of it.
Got,
yep.
I've made contact with my gal, my VA gal, and so.
Yep. Is she interested in jumping on the phone
so.
For you?
Oh, yeah. She's interested in doing everything, basically. So, yeah. Yep. We're,
I'm sending her this test so she can take that, and in the meantime, I'm pretty sure she can do the phone calling. Yeah, if she can, because it'll, you know, not everybody can sell on the phone. So if her disc profile comes back good, move her out of the some of the other daily, you know, data management, skip tracing stuff. You can find anybody to do that, and put her where it'll have the biggest impact, which will be on the phone with sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Let us know how that disc test comes back. Okay.
Okay. For sure.
I've looked at quite a few. Rob has looked at hundreds and hundreds, and so, but it's pretty simple. It's pretty cut and dry. You know, people who are not high D or high I, they can sell. It's just not typically a great fit for their personality. So let us know what that looks like when you get it.
Absolutely, will do.
Perfect.
And just listening in really helps a lot. It builds up my confidence and gives me tips on the different avenues to take, so that's very helpful, and there's nothing, guys that chime in and give all that information, right,
there's nothing better than knowing, even if you don't chime in, than knowing and hearing other people say, hey, here's what we're doing, and we're, you know, I had a closing yesterday. You know, Darren, he had that assignment yesterday for $7,000. He's closing one, what did you say, the 21st or 6th for 30. So, you know, just those two deals right out of the gate here, $37,000 a month. Now, Darren and his wife flip houses full-time, right? So they might as well have a full-time job. I think they have 13 or 16 projects under contract or under construction, something like that. I mean, that's busy.
Wow.
Most I ever ran at once was 6. And, you know, that's busy. 16 is nuts. You know, I mean, they have two of them doing it. Hal's on here. He's no different. I think he has 13. So, yeah, that, you know, I'm glad you said that, Esther, because it matters when you chime in, when you stay connected to like-minded people moving in a similar direction, right? Every personal development book, audio, live event, every single one of them says you have to stay around like-minded people because the rest of the world's full of negative, and they're just going to tell you how much you can't do it and all the reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to, you know, you got to stay plugged in. You got to get a different opinion.
Absolutely. This is very awesome. So it's very inspiring, motivating, and just builds up, you know, my confidence that I can get there, and I'd like to be able to close at least 2 contracts this month, if not more.
Yep.
So at least get that.
That having somebody working those leads, Esther, because I know we spoke last week. There's money in you. What do you have, 600 leads? Is that what you told me?
No, like 300. 300, maybe still, 400 by now.
Yeah. There's money sitting in there waiting for you to call and pull it out, or somebody on your team to call and pull it out. It's just sitting there. You just,
right.
You know where to dig. You're about to find a different shovel. Sounds like your VA. So it's just a matter, you know, it's just like gold mining. I know it's in there. I just got to dig and go get it. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for, you know, providing this hour for us to share and listen in on all these tips and giving us feedback on it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is the this is by design. So it's always one-on-one discussion. You ask a question, get an answer, but it's valuable when it's in a group setting because either somebody else has the same question you do, or somebody else needs to hear the answer that you receive, or pick up from the success stories, that kind of thing. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Hey, Mark, it's Hal.
Hey.
I just got a little update. Had a, you know, my last week was rough because the GC I fired, and he's trying to give me a hard time, but I'm getting pretty straightened around. But I did find, I think I found a gal that's going to really be good at buying houses for me. I've just got to teach her a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of by accident. And I met this gal, and she told me, well, she had looked at a vacant house that I did. And
yep.
She called the gal. The gal didn't want to sell it. She said, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. I said, well, what have you been doing? She said, well, I did close one deal. And I said, well, tell me about your deal. And
yeah.
She said, well, I found this house, and I sold it to an investor, and I made $1,000. And I said, hey, that's great. I said, tell me about the numbers with it. She said, well, I found this house, and it was worth 40 grand just the way it's set. I bought it for $5,000 and sold it to them for $6,000. And I said, boy, you got robbed. You know, I said, how would you like me to teach you how to make more money? And she said, I love it.
That's great.
So we're going to meet here in the next week, and I'm going to turn a bunch of my leads over to her and let her start working on them, you know? So that was,
yeah.
You know, I've been listening in to these guys, and yeah, there is, this is a neat program we're on here. Anyway.
So you, you said you met by accident, but that was no accident.
Yeah, well, it was.
That's
it's
cool.
Funny because I got this one guy working for me on a house, and she's been. He said, "Well, she's in marketing. She came over, and that's how we got talking." What do you mean in marketing? Well, I really want to know how to do these houses, but I don't know how to talk to people. I said, "Listen, I think you know how to talk to people. You just need to know a few things." Like I said, I did foreclosures for 11 years. And I know pretty much everything a person thinks is in foreclosure. I know how to walk up to the door. I know what to drive, all of that stuff I can teach you. The same
yep.
way with vacant properties, you just got to find, you know, you got to find their hot buttons.
Right.
And if they don't have one, maybe they got one they don't know about. You just got to find the reason. So, anyway.
That's awesome. I love it.
It was a good deal. I just got to get... Next
oh,
week, I got to get into that.
That's a big deal because you're busy. And obviously, when you fire a GC, you get extra busy, busier than you want to be. But you've got to get somebody overseeing, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago. You have to have somebody that's going to oversee the construction that you can trust. Then you can go back into leads. Then it looks like this gal maybe – you probably want to give her a disc test if she's never had one. You can even sell it off. Hey, do this. If you guys haven't taken a disc test, take one. And you can bring somebody on like this and say, hey, if we're going to work together, I got to have you take a disc test. And here's why. Because we need to know how to communicate. So this was really cool. This is back in the day. I went to a live training event. This guy, he trains real estate agents. So I was in the mortgage business back then. And they actually bought, he found a personality test. It wasn't DISC. It was called something else. But, a lot of them will give, they have their own nuances, but they'll give you similar feedback, right, on how you're wired. So this company found one, and he ended up buying it, the personality test company. And on the outside of everybody's door and on the wall at everybody's cubicle on their team was that person's personality test. And he said, here's the rule in this company. He goes, Hal, if I have something that I need to bring to your attention and I go to your office, that thing is posted on the outside the door so I can read it really quick so that I know the personality of the person I'm walking in to talk to, and I've got to bring you the format. How do you want to see this? Right, it's my responsibility. Is I'm trying to communicate something to you to put it into language that you're going to understand based on how you're wired, and that's how the whole company worked. And I thought, wow, it's brilliant. So, you know, you bring on somebody like that, you're not really hiring her. You kind of met under different circumstances, but you can say, hey, we've got to do this personality thing. By the way, here's mine. This is how I'm wired. Let's see how you're wired so that we just get more efficient in how we work together. So, again, if you haven't taken one, take one.
I've taken one, but what do you
okay.
guys use?
DISC, D-I-S-C.
Okay. That
and
might be the one I've taken.
There's a free version online that's about 12 questions. The paid version's like $30.
and they'll send you a link, and you can take it. The paid one obviously is better. It takes you 20 minutes to fill out. It's a lot more thorough. That's valuable stuff. You know, you'll learn about, why am I beating my head against the wall? Why is this so hard for me? Oh, that's why. Because this is how I'm wired, right? And as the CEO of the company, in school, everybody, here's kind of the methodology. You're really good in English. You're not so good at math. Let's go work on your math skills. We've got to bring them up. And in business, if you want to go somewhere, it looks more like I'm good at English. I'm not so good at math. I'm going to focus on English and hire somebody to do math for me.
Exactly.
That's the more effective way. And it's a little bit counterintuitive. So the only way you know what your strengths are and what to hire out is if you take something like this and figure it out. And they're spot on. If you answer the questions accurately, it'll give you accurate feedback.
I've taken one before, and what I want to tell you too is tomorrow I'm building this one new house, and we had it set up to net at least $100,000 on it, and of course when I fired him, that kind of threw a wrench into everything because he had been paid for some stuff that so it made the cost change, but I found this guy who. He also went through, he was a builder, and he went through, the hard times, and he lost 16 properties. I lost 6. He lost 16.
Yeah.
But he was able to keep all his credit with all his suppliers, and he has jumped back to where he's building big houses now. And he told me he would do whatever it took on his fees to, if I'll let him do this house, because he wants the rest of my business. And I know
check
he knows what
out.
He's doing. I've talked to his superintendent. We've looked at the house. He told me a couple things that I was unaware of because I'm not a builder, I know. And he looked at a couple of my other projects where I knew a couple things had been done wrong, and I had two or three guys, GCs, look at it, and he just makes more sense than anybody. So if I get him, what I told him was, my idea is I still want to expand. Eventually, I want to have IRA money fund. That's one of the things I want to do down the road. You can do so much more if you have the money available. And at any rate, I think we're kind of on the same thing. Everybody needs to do what they're best at. What I'm best at is buying properties or selling them. That's what I'm best at. I can find the houses. I can buy them if the people want to sell them. I can do that, and I shouldn't be in the construction every day, but I need no part of it.
Correct.
That's what I'm working on. It was a real pain firing this guy, but I realized the other day after it was done and after it had been a week, I realized I should have done it a long time ago.
That's always hindsight. Always.
Well, one of my weaknesses is, and I've got to overcome it, is, you get that gut feeling. You really need to do the gut feeling right then. You don't want to procrastinate. Sometimes I procrastinate.
Hal, I think we were talking about this. I've never met one person that likes firing anybody. I haven't.
Yeah,
it's not easy. You avoid it, and it's one of those things that's really, really easy to put off. Hindsight is always an easy one, so you're looking back saying, yeah, I should have done this a while ago. That's okay. You won't forget the lesson. The timing, you may have not met this guy that you just met back then either. So, if this ends up working out, then, you can be thankful on the timing of how this all came together. But, yeah, that's one of those. I wouldn't say that's a weakness of yours. I'd say you're wired like the rest of us. So.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys doing well on here, and that's good. That's good.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff happening.
I gotta get it cranked up on that end of it, on the wholesale end again. I missed that part of it.
Yeah, it's really when your business has cash flow solved, it's really the pressure release from the other stuff that you want to do. So
yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, you've got a flip deal going sideways. You know, and like Darren, you're closing $37,000 this month in wholesale deals. You're like, yeah, that stinks, but we'll get through it. If you just have the flip going and nothing else and a lot's riding on it, that's what causes some sleepless nights. So it really is just it's the key piece. So
yep.
Yeah, everybody, that's all progress is worth celebrating. So it doesn't matter if it's seems to be huge or seems to be insignificant. If we're moving forward, we're going in the right direction. So good stuff. Any other questions as we kind of wrap up here? All right. Good stuff. Thanks for checking in. Hope you got a lot out of this, like Esther was saying. Even if you don't chime in, that's okay. Plug in and listen to what's going on. Get some input. Let's make it a good next couple of days. Obviously, questions come into the coaching center. Look forward to chatting with everybody on Thursday. Have a great evening, and we'll talk soon. Sound good?
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks,
appreciate
Mike.
It.
All right, everyone. Yep, take care.
All right. Bye.
See ya.
Good night, Mike.